It's the most popular thing on the Post-Gazette website. After every Steeler game, it's Ray Fittipaldo's report card. He's a very tough grader, Bob. I think tonight is actually his parent-teacher conferences. A lot of the Steelers' parents meet with Ray to see how things are going for them.
How could my son get this grade? You kidding me, Ray? He does everything.
Put him in the game, Ray. Come on.
Exactly.
Let him play, Ray.
Do you know how hard my kid works? He should be in the game.
You know, Ray, my friend really got to play here. He's a really good punter. You should sign him to the team.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing. The Ray Fittipaldo report card. Absolutely legendary, Bob. So, Limits, you're in on this. Ray gives the quarterback, Justin Fields, a B- for the game. Says he was better than Cousins. That's all that mattered. Fumbled once, bobbled another snap, missed some wide open receivers, but he didn't turn it over. Made some big plays throughout the game. And a couple runs. He says he probably didn't do enough to earn another start if Russell Wilson is healthy. I say he definitely didn't, while I acknowledge that he made under difficult circumstances. First start, new team, hostile environment, not a full week of reps. He played well, just not well enough to unseat the starter. Ray gives him a B-. I agree with Ray for once. I give him a B-, Bob, maybe even a B.
I would say B, take away the minus. Again,
I told
what
you,
he
Ray
just
is very
what
tough.
He described was managing the game properly for a road game, and he did that. However,
you know what I give him? A P for Kenny Pickett. It was a Kenny Pickett-style game. Let's go out there and win it 18-10. Just don't give the ball to the other guys. But he adds the element of running. I give him a B.
And the reason I give him a B, too, is also his ability with his legs. When you look at the third down conversion rate of 47%, three of those plays were because he used his legs to either set up third and short or get the first down. So, you know, that's an element that if you're a defense, you think you haven't bottled up, and all of a sudden they get a new set of downs, and that's why the time of possession was so lopsided in favor of the Steelers. Their offensive line as a young group did a good job, I thought, as the game went on, but also he allowed them to extend plays by using his legs.
Wonder Twin?
Yeah, the middle of the field was once again just
ignored,
not utilized. Hello, Pony. And I think it's a B for Fields. I think he did well. I think maybe nerves is what took over those first couple plays with the bad snaps. And he really settled in, made some throws, would like to see them utilize the middle more. But B.
Okay. Running backs. Ray gives them, which was really him, Najee, a B. Says with Warren still nursing a hamstring injury, Najee had 20 carries for 70 yards, started to wear down the defense a little bit, 20-yard run. In the fourth quarter, Cordarrelle Patterson figures in this. They had 137 yards rushing. He gives them a B.
I give Najee an A for passionate running. I'm not looking at stats because, you know, that was one of those games where it was just going to be hard yards, and nobody right now is better than getting hard yards than Najee Harris. He's an angry runner, and there were a couple of times where he moved the pile when he thought it was dead. Sure, the 20-yard run was a good, but that reminded me of Le'Veon Bell. He hesitated, saw an opening, and darted through it. So I'm going to give him an A based on how the game plan was and what they needed him to do.
All right, if you're giving him an A, Bob, what are you going to do when he gets 150 yards and three touchdowns?
I'll give him an A again. I look at the context.
Ownership stake in the school?
Okay, you say Ray's a hard grader. What are you going to give him, a D because he only had 70 yards?
No.
I look at those yards and I say those were hard yards to get, a lot of them. And there weren't a lot of holes for him originally. He made that happen. So I'm judging the performance based on what was available to him and how he attacked it and did not fumble. So there are a lot of components. It was a road game. I'll give him an A. And I'm probably a more generous scorer than you. So that's to be known.
I just don't know where you're going to go if he ever has a great game.
What's wrong? Do I have to give him just an A when he runs for 150? I don't care about the average.
He averaged 3.5 yards a carry.
I don't care.
He was pretty good.
When you watched the game, didn't you get the feeling the physicality aspect was in play?
Yes, I love the way he runs. I do. And I'll give him a B+, Bob. How's that?
I influenced you to go higher.
I give him a B+, but if I'm grading the running backs as a whole, Justin Fields was a running back in this game. 14 carries for 57 yards.
Right. That's why
he was probably their best running back. So maybe the running backs as a whole, I will go all the way to an A-, Bob. No, I won't. I'll go to B+.
All right, but again, it's how the game played out.
See, their average. Hold on a second here. Paul, pause.
No, you already used two of them.
I used one. I have to figure out something. 147 divided by 40. See, their average went down a lot because of that ridiculous play to Pickens. That lost them minus 10 yards.
I thought Deontay Johnson was back. I didn't know what was going on there. It was backwards
right. What the hell is going on here, Bob? What kind of call was that?
Also, did we not? I don't think we talked about the horrendous pass interference called against George Pickens, too.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we did.
Or that was, okay.
Extensively. You were on the phone with somebody or talking to Pony
sense.
In the office.
I apologize.
It's okay. What do you give the running backs?
I give him a B minus because Justin Fields is a quarterback acting like a running back, and Jaylen Warren was ineffective because I still think he's hurt, and I wasn't that impressed with Cordarrelle Patterson. Now, Najee was running like a pissed off man, and he played very well.
That, Bob.
He looked angry out there. Every time Najee popped up, he was in someone's face, jawing back and forth. He looked angry.
He is motivated because they didn't pick up the fifth-year option. He's going to play this way.
He runs this way all the time.
I know that, but especially now. He's playing because he wants to make a point.
They gave Freiermuth the money and didn't give him the money.
Right. I love guys who are motivated by money. Unfortunately, we're seeing fewer and fewer instances of this because guys want money ahead of time. I want to see people play. There's nothing wrong with letting play. In the Freiermuth case, let's say they didn't agree to terms. I'm glad they did. He's a good guy, and he's working hard, and I think he's going to be a big part of this. But they could have said, you know what, you made 32 catches last year. This is a prove-it year for you. Let me see, and I'll give you what you want, I want to see it. I think it motivates people. We're losing that in sports today because of all this guaranteed crap.
Bob has to make a big statement there, and I'm scared of him.
I agree with every syllable and half syllable that Bob just uttered there. Because he's got something to prove, Bob, and I think that really does mean something.
Oh, come on. He runs the exact same way yesterday that he's run his whole career.
How does someone that has run for over 1,000 yards in three consecutive seasons have something to prove? Well, it seems like it's more of a mindset thing that has been put on him based on how the team apparently views him.
He ran differently yesterday than he ran when he had a secure control. What?
Didn't you see passion?
Yes, I always see passion.
I saw more passion on this one.
I dare to challenge you on that.
There was more passion.
No. He's one of the most passionate runners I've ever seen.
I'm not disputing
he's in the school of my favorites, two of my early favorites, Larry Brown, Washington, John Brockington, Green Bay Packers, two of my early favorites because they sought contact, and that's what he does. And he didn't run any differently or act any differently than he did last year.
Well, I completely disagree. Well, I think he won
the Angry Runner Award on NFL Network.
Right,
so did Jaylen Warren. They both run hard. I get it. But I'm saying he is motivated to do it. Now, and the injury to Warren, he knew he was going to be the primary ball toter.
He may very well be motivated. There was no difference. I don't disagree,
but I saw a different level of it is what I'm trying to say.
Did it stand out to anyone that it seemed like there was extra pushing and shoving after every play? Corners were shoving wide receivers when they were down on the ground again. It seemed like
that's the kind of football they want. I think it's an Arthur
it
Smith.
It was the
thing.
Arthur Smith. Bowl.
Yeah, I do.
Think so.
I think their players.
No, I didn't
knew.
Notice any different from a lot of games.
It seemed more physical to me. Like they just wanted to physically beat them up.
Not me.
On both sides of the ball.
Same thing last year. They did to Cleveland early in the season and Buffalo the year before that, Cincinnati the year before that, or vice versa.
But do you agree with the concept that players playing motivated for money makes a difference and they should be in that situation?
No, not really. Not if they're motivated in the first place. Yeah, I have to have a great year this year, but if I haven't been playing...
You don't think George Pickens is motivated to have 95 catches this year, so he knows what's lying.
So he's going to play harder than he did last year?
I think it's human nature to think that, yes. You don't think so?
No, not really. I don't.
If you were told, Joe.
And if it is, then that's a problematic player in the first place because they weren't given 100% before.
No, it's not that he's not giving 100%. I'm not disputing that. What I'm saying is there's a different gear to 100%. It's like you know what's at stake here. If you put up the numbers... You see what the market is. That motivates you. Put that carrot out there and dangle it. People want that carrot.
You know
he averaged 3.3 yards per carry.
Okay. Within the context of this game, the fact that they had three inexperienced offensive linemen, okay?
He ran hard. He ran passionately.
All right.
Just like
we're not
going to
settle this, so it doesn't matter.
Go back to last year's Seattle game. Go back and watch some of those runs.
Yeah, there was an extra gear. You know how sometimes you can just tell, maybe you're playing pickup basketball against somebody, or you're playing any sport, and you look at them and you just see that look in their eye where you know they always give 100%, but there's just something extra there. That was Najee Harris yesterday. That crazed look in somebody's eye where there's complete and utter motivation and a different level and different gear that's being pushed.
And that's not to say he wasn't doing that before. It's just that it seemed more prevalent to me.
Okay. Offensive line, Ray gives them a B. Injuries to Seumalo, Fatanu made it maybe a little different than what it would have been. Surely did. Frazier and Anderson made their first NFL starts. Yeah, under the circumstances, he gives them a B. I'll give him a B, Bob. I don't think that the Falcons challenged them in the pass rush game.
Because of Justin Fields.
Maybe.
But I think B is good. I would give specifically Zach Frazier an A. And I think Spencer Anderson acquitted himself very well, given the fact that that's not what you expect him to be in there to play that position. So,
yeah,
I think overall, in the fact, time of possession to me is a big part of this whole equation. That's why I have a better feeling about what they did based on how they controlled the line of scrimmage as the game wore on.
I'm eating a piece of candy because I have a sore throat, even though I know I'm on the radio. And I'm going to continue, continue to eat that.
Would you chew gum to see if the same
no.
thing...
But my dog swallowed a piece of gum last night. My wife blamed me. It was my daughter's fault.
I always worried about that as a kid, swallowing.
I don't chew gum.
So, did you ever eat a milk bone? I did.
No. I ate dog food once on a bet.
Well, that's the same for me. It was a bet of a milk bone. I actually found it very, very tasty.
Did you find the dog food tasty, Joe?
Not at all. But I did make $50, which was enough for a case of beer and more.
Well, congratulations to you.
Right. And did you know eating dog food 25 years later has an effect on your colon and your kidneys and everything else? Did you really?
It does.
What about swallowing gum? It stays in your system for 7 years. Is that
true?
Yeah,
what's going to happen to Bailey the dog? He went into the corner of the basement and ate a piece of gum. Obviously, it's not my gum. I don't sit in the basement and chew gum, and yet I got blamed.
Well, that's the responsibility of being a husband and a father. You take the blame. You're the quarterback. You take responsibility. You
don't
dish out
blame. What's going to happen to that gum?
It'll eventually come out somewhere, right? It has to.
Somewhere. Who knows where?
Defensive line. After the Falcons controlled the game early, says Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette on his iconic report card, the line stepped up to seize control of the game. Hayward, four tackles. Montrevious Adams, a sack. Ogunjobi, big pressures, et cetera, et cetera. He gave him, okay, so after all that, Ray, you only give him a B. Bob, he's a very, very difficult grader, and that's why a lot of the parents of the players are upset.
Well, I mean... A B is a good score, though.
Not really. Yeah. A B is barely, it's above average.
It's a good score.
In you gave Najee an A.
I did, because I love the passion. I thought they got better, too, as the game went along. So I think B is an appropriate score for them. They also had
a
quarterback who was compromised. They knew that. Their game plan was about that, which meant they dropped more people into coverage and allowed their defensive line to do the job and the outside linebackers.
A minus.
Okay.
I thought they played an outstanding game. There were no big plays. That's a really good offensive line, by the way. That's an offensive line that's been together.
That's why I thought they were
two all pros right. on that line.
I thought there was going to be a big difference in the game in their favor.
I thought they were outstanding. And I'm not surprised, because at the beginnings of years, when the Ogunjobis and Cams of the world are healthy and fresh, they're going to be outstanding. Keanu Benton, I thought, might be more of a presence. I thought Adams had a really good game. What happened? How many? Do you have a snap count there? What was Benton's snap count?
He missed a lot of gaps.
You need to take a pause
by
all means.
You know what's great? When you sit with Chris Hoke and watch a game, he will immediately show you, like, he pops up and he look at a gap. He missed a gap. He should have done this. And he knows, like, these gaps that we all talk about.
Yeah. But,
and I think Keanu Benton was just, not doing – maybe he was getting ahead of himself, but he was allowing guys to get into gaps that he should have been there to stop.
Benton, 48% of the snaps.
Interesting. All right. I give the defensive line.
I still am very high on him, by the way. I still think he's going to have a big
game. So am I. I give them a B. I'm flummoxed as to how you could give Najee Harris an A and the defensive line a B. I mean, I give them an A minus. I'm sorry. What do you give them?
Defensive line a B.
Yeah.
B plus. B plus. They played pretty well. Especially, I mean, what, Atlanta had 50 total yards of offense in the second half?
I mean, they played great.
They stopped Bijan Robinson, their best offensive weapon.
I'm giving him an A. I'm upgrading it to an A.
I'll upgrade you to an A as well.
You can be influenced as a grader. You don't even need a curve. You could be talked into
things. What was their average yards per carry? Can you look that up without using
it was
the ball
than the, It was better than the Steelers, I bet.
So was everybody else's in the league.
But that it was 3.7?
Yeah.
Something like that. What is it? Did you see it, Austin?
They ran for 89 yards on 22 carries.
So that's what?
3.8.
Yeah, it's in
I
that
figured
range.
That out in my head. No, I didn't. I just guessed. What was it? 3 point what? Limits?
4.
4?
It's 4. 4 yards per carry.
All right, I give him an A-minus, Bob.
No. Nah.
Linebackers. T.J. Watt, Ray says, was dominant as ever. Blah, blah, blah. Quiet day for the inside linebackers, although he says Peyton Wilson strong in sub packages. I don't mind a quiet day for the inside linebackers because that tells me they're not getting beat. So, yeah, I mean, maybe people who are expecting Patrick Queen to be flying around like Ray Lewis, maybe it's okay in a given week when he just fulfills his assignments and isn't getting beat in the run or the pass game. I don't think them being, quote, quiet is necessarily a negative, is what I'm saying. I also thought Peyton Wilson saved a touchdown with a spectacular play.
Well, Minka Fitzpatrick was right behind him. Could have made the play.
I think Minka had already been faked on that play.
But that, it was interesting because that drive, they were moving methodically right down the field, running left, left, left. The one time they go right, T.J. Watt comes back and tackle for loss, and then the following play is the Peyton Wilson, which was a very alert play. I like that kid. He's going to be around the ball a lot.
He gives him an A-minus. I mean, between Watt and Highsmith, listen, if Watt doesn't get whistled down on a couple plays, very questionably, that's an A+. I'm giving my linebackers an A, Bob.
So am I.
100%. They get an A. They were terrific.
Ray's got to have some of these people get very upset, doesn't he, Bob? Some of the families of the players, they're registering phone calls at the Post-Gazette.
I do believe that people, families, even players, read and listen. They may say they don't, but I think they do.
Now, Devin Bush's dad certainly did.
Ask Paul. A-minus, not a bad grade, though, from Ray. I'm exaggerating there, of course. Secondary. Wait a second here, Bob. They had 2 interceptions, and Minka was spectacular. He did. They blew a coverage on Kyle Pitts' touchdown. He said that was might have been Beanie Bishop.
I think it was Beanie Bishop.
But to give them a B+? Ray, what would be the name of a very hard-grading, mean teacher, Bob? Mrs. Kravitz? That's a Mrs. Kravitz grade, isn't it?
Could be.
B+ for the secondary? The Falcons did almost nothing, and the only reason they got that touchdown was because they whistled down the T.J. Watt play, which came after they whistled down the George Pickens play.
How about Dante Jackson played every snap?
He was great. And Elliott, they both had interceptions. They got to be in the A range here, Bob. I'm giving them an A.
Anytime you get the turnovers, that to me starts with turnovers, and they made 2 of them, and that's enough to give me an A as well.
Well, but you can also have that and give up 300 yards passing and 4 touchdowns.
Joey Porter Jr. was assigned to Drake London.
Yes.
What did he have? 2 catches for like 12 yards or something.
Yes, I think Ray's made a horrible mistake here, Bob.
They only gave up 226 total yards.
That's mostly because Kirk Cousins is not ready to play.
Well, that's fine, but they also have some unbelievable weapons.
And they got shut down.
Yes, big time. Now, the pass rush helped. I get it.
I thought Porter's drawing all those assignments, and people tend not to. But if Dante Jackson plays the way he did yesterday, then they got a formidable 1-2.
If you tell me.
Hoping that Corey Trice would eventually move in.
Do you know that Dante Jackson had 1 fewer catch than Deontay Johnson had yesterday, Joe?
Yeah.
Deontay Johnson, who you wanted us to pick in fantasy for 100 catches this year. He only had 2 catches yesterday.
Oh, you want to get into our fantasy picks, do you? Who did I tell you to pick in the first round?
Let's tell Bob this. Huh? Bob, so Joe says to me, the first thing, he told me to pick every Buffalo Bill under the stars, and he said, pick Josh Allen in the first round of the draft.
Because he's half running back, Bob. And how do I look today? He had 2 rushing touchdowns and 2 passing touchdowns.
And Bob, you know what I said, Bob? Nobody picks a quarterback in the first round. It's a dumb pick in fantasy. You don't do that.
He used the word dumb, too, to describe me.
No, I did not describe you as dumb.
I didn't call Ron stupid. I never called Ron stupid. I called his methodology stupid.
Yep. I know,
not
by
him.
Extension, you were calling him
no,
stupid.
No, I wasn't.
I didn't call you dumb. I called the idea dumb, not you dumb. The idea was dumb.
That's a very thin line.
And then Joe also doesn't understand because he keeps texting. You should have picked Cooper
insults,
Kupp.
Bob.
You should have picked Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp was taken the pick right before us. I was going to take him.
You should have traded up.
There's no trading up in fantasy football.
We have a horrible team because of him.
You'd know this, Joe, if you were at the draft.
You should have taken Josh Allen's the guy you build your team around. They have no team in Buffalo this year around him. He's going to do everything himself, like yesterday.
Well, that's a mistake, by the way. I thought I don't know. You can't expect him to play this way every single game. He's not going to be able to do it. He's a very talented guy, but he's going to need some help there. I don't know if they have enough of it around
him. No, they don't. Special teams yesterday, an A-plus from Ray for the special teams.
Well, that's all Boswell. How else can you give anything but that?
Really give up anything. I thought Calvin Austin was pretty good in the
Scotty Miller was
game.
Really good.
As a back, yeah, A-plus.
Yeah.
There's, you guys
I don't
agree?
Think you can't get better than what we saw yesterday. Just no way.
Fabulous. And the punt was unbelievable. Let's get into coaching next from the game, including one particular decision from Mike Tomlin that drew a lot of different opinions. Let's just put it that way. Then we'll go around the league.
Around the NFL with Joe Starkey.
What a day around the league. And, of course, we're going to circle back to the quarterbacks. Who should play? 412-928-9370. Who should play in Denver if Wilson is cleared? I think the vast majority of us believe it should be Wilson. But there are some, including City Limits, who beg to differ.
I think. Right. Okay, never mind.
We'll get to your thoughts.
Yeah. I know. I'm sorry.
It's not a break in the radio business, Bob. It's a brief pause.
It's a brief pause. Not a Paul pause. Don't play that. No, 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 no. This is a rate.
All right. All right. Have we exhausted our allotment
for
of
the
Paul
entire
pauses?
Week? Maybe. No, no, no. No, no, no. You can't do that.
Can we get the wooden teeth before we go?
No.
Because there's one guy who hates it
no,
so bad.
I am so tired of
you,
this narrative.
But someone else
but
than
just,
you.
Hold on. Let me put my wooden teeth in so you can understand me better.
You know.
There's one guy out there on Twitter who hates it. And that's dedicated to you, buddy, whoever your name is.
And the text line every time.
Yeah. Sorry, Bob.
What do I have to do?
Where are we? What time is it?
It's well beyond your bedtime time.
50-minute mark on the fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Let's get back to the Steelers report card, Bob, and the last section is coaching. And Ray gives Mike Tomlin and company a B. He said Tomlin and Terrell Austin had a masterful game. Made Cousins look like a rookie. Difficult first game for new coordinator Arthur Smith as they didn't reach the end zone. Some of that is injuries to Wilson and the line. The Steelers got a road victory, but a lot of improvement is at hand here for Denver. Grade B. I would say that Tomlin and Terrell Austin really did a great job defensively. And Tomlin, I thought, did a great job explaining afterward that Kirk Cousins kills blitzes, kills five-man rushes, and has done that to the Steelers. And so they went with four. It was a great defensive game plan, and they just swallowed him up. So good for them. Arthur Smith, I thought, loosened up a little as the game went on. You know, again, I'm okay with all of this for game one. I guess I have some post-traumatic thing happening from these other openers in recent years where they've hammered teams defensively in spite of getting almost nothing from their offense, like no touchdowns. And then as the defense sort of experiences the natural attrition of a long schedule and the offense never gets up to speed, the seasons fall apart. Yeah, maybe they finish 9-8 and sneak in, 10-7, whatever. You know what I mean, Bob.
Yeah.
So I'm giving Tomlin here. Listen, I didn't have a problem with yesterday. I did with one particular call, and that's why I go from an A to an A-minus or even a B, because I thought it was crazy to go for it down there with, 6 minutes to go, 6:40, something like that, maybe?
Up by five.
Up by six. Up by six.
Wasn't it 15 to 10? What are you talking about, the fourth and one?
The fourth and one that they went for, the six-yard line?
That was a five-point game, which was a one-possession game for Atlanta if they wanted to win the game with a touchdown. So you're talking about fourth and one, right?
It was that fourth and one play.
Yeah, you're right.
Justin
right.
Fields
on
the QB sneak.
Yeah. So you're basically forcing them to go all the way down the field and score to tie it.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's why they went for it on fourth and one, because they figured they'd trust their defense. If we do it, we win the game. They're not going to have a, and they probably get a touchdown eventually. I understood both sides of that. I mean, points are points when you have a chance. But anyway, that factored in. I'd give them a B+, just because I thought the defense, more than anything, they had a very solid game plan against Cousins and that team, which is, I think, a very capable team offensively. They have some really good weapons, starting with their offensive line, veteran group together, and all the – so they needed a quarterback, and they brought him in. Now I'm wondering if that's the right call and how much money they paid him, knowing that Michael Penn – now, here's the thing. And I had this – this is not second-guessing for me, because I brought it up pregame. Why is Michael Penix – he played most of the entire preseason. He was – and he looked good. He gives you a different – but because they brought Kirk Cousins in and paid him all that money, he was going to play no matter what. And he had not played. They hadn't tested it. I thought his leg looked compromised, or he was favoring it. He wasn't the same passer. I don't know if I would have started
him. I'm sorry. Here's what I was thinking. You're up 5.
Right.
So you kick the chip shot field goal.
To make it 8.
You force them to go down the field.
You can't lose the game then.
Down the field and convert a two-point. Right. You basically, in my opinion, end the game.
Right.
The way that this, instead, you hand them the ball back.
But you hand the ball at inside their own 5-yard line.
Well, that's fine, but I get it. But I want a guaranteed win here, and I feel like that's what I would have gotten.
I think that's a 50-50
call. Certainly a guaranteed tie.
You know, if
it
works, if it works, then it's a beautiful call. It's just like anything else.
But if it works, in order to really make the percentages work, you still got to score the touchdown after that.
Well, I mean, if they get first and goal, because that would have been first and goal, you don't think they would have scored a touchdown?
I have no idea if they would have scored a touchdown. I'm taking the field goal there and going up.
And I wouldn't have had a problem if they did that. I also did not have a problem with them going for it. I thought it's one of those calls that, as a coach, you got to make. You're going to have people not like it. People love it.
It's
all about the execution. And now the problem was that play call and how it was set up.
That too. I thought. Yeah.
But more alarming was the previous play and how they allowed that thing to just get
almost ruined the effort with that one play. And then they start to get cute and go to hurry up and nobody knows what the hell's going on. Next thing you know, Atlanta has the ball with a chance to win with a touchdown probably. I don't know, man. Just take the chip shot. The theme of the day seemed to be we're here not to make any mistakes, to win ugly, to rely on our defense, all going perfectly. Take the easy field goal, go up 8, and essentially end the game. That's what I would have done.
I like the call a lot going forward on 4th-and-1, because if you get it, and again, you're at the 5, you score a touchdown. That's the knockout punch with 5 minutes left. Atlanta's not coming back from that, and the game is over. You could have controlled it.
Yeah, but you got to make it.
Well, yeah, obviously.
I really felt like there was no evidence to suggest that Atlanta was going to drive 94 yards, 96 yards. There was no evidence to suggest that.
But you gave them that. Well, there's less evidence to suggest they were going to score 8 points to tie the game.
Okay, that makes it a 50-50 call. That's why I'm not going to overreact to that call. I thought they made a choice. That's their choice.
I'd rather protect myself to where if a miracle happens and Atlanta actually scores and converts a 2-point conversion, if that miracle happens, I'm still protected by being tied. Whereas the other way, I leave myself no protection. They win, probably, if they go down and score. I thought it was an obvious call there. And then spare me the "we don't live in our fears" talk ever again. I never want to hear that. If you can't make 4th-and-1, then you know, what kind of team are you anyway? We don't live in our fears. We don't live that way. That's not the way we play. You punted from the Indy 39-yard line last year, down 2 scores when you have Boswell on your team indoors. You punted from the other team's 39. In a playoff game at home against Cleveland, you're down 12. You're 4th-and-1. Right? If you can't get 1 yard, you're 4th-and-1 from your own 46, down 12 in the middle of an incredible comeback, and you punt on a day when your defense couldn't stop anybody and the Browns score again. And we've seen numerous examples of Tomlin actually living in his fears. Yesterday was a live in your fears kind of day. 3rd-and-12, let's run Cordarrelle Patterson up the middle. Why? Because we're trying to win a game 13-9 or 18-10 or 19-11. That's the theme of the day. So why step out of that theme when you're 4th-and-1 down there, when all you have to do is kick a field goal and essentially end the game, or at least protect yourself if lightning strikes and Atlanta goes down the field? That's my feeling.
And you're strongly articulated it, but You don't think that's a 50-50 call? You made it sound automatic.
No. No, not on a day when your defense is playing like that.
That's why you do it, because your defense is playing like that.
I go up eight. I go up eight, and I'm protected. I'm the best they can do. Plus, they would need a two-point conversion.
I understand
play,
that.
Is go overtime.
I just think I wouldn't. Again, I have no problem with kicking a field goal there if they'd done
how
it.
How about the execution? How about what they
asked him to do? That was more of a problem, you know, the way they did that. But, you're going to make decisions all day long. I still give the coaching B-plus for everything they did on the road to win that game, given the fact they were dealing with a lot of injuries to their offensive line.
Me too. Overall, generally speaking, I thought it was an outstanding, especially defensive effort from Tomlin and Austin. And I give them A-minus, B-plus. Limits?
I give them an A. It was a solid overall coaching performance from them. The defense was ready, was prepared. I would have liked to seen them let the offense cook a little bit more with Arthur Smith, use the middle of the field more, and let Justin Fields create downfield. But they dialed up a pretty good game plan. They get an A.
So let me ask you this. In a bigger game down the road, they're going against, Joe Burrow, if that team gets
rolling. That's different.
Or they're going against Lamar. Same situation. Mm-hmm. You're up five late in the game.
It's not the same situation.
No, I'm saying the same situation.
It's not the same situation.
From a score standpoint and a time standpoint.
There's a compromise.
And a point of the field standpoint.
There's a compromise. Kirk Cousins, who couldn't move the ball and couldn't throw the ball and couldn't run out of the pocket.
Then take the chip shot and make him go down and convert a two-point conversion.
Joe Burrow can do that in probably less than a minute.
So in those situations, you definitely go for the field goal to protect yourself.
I think it just depended on the game situation, what you've seen, what they were capable or not capable of doing.
It didn't seem like
sense.
They were capable of much, but they still have very talented players on offense.
Who did nothing.
I know. One play from Bijan Robinson or Drake London or Kyle
Pitts. You're living in your fears now.
What do you mean?
You just said one play.
Yeah, one play, and I'm protected. Then they have to make another one for a two-point conversion just to get a tie. Whereas one play, when I'm not even ahead by a touchdown, I lose the game. To me, it's a very easy call there.
No, it isn't, because it's a 50-50 call based on what you think. And if you think Kirk Cousins not going to move the ball because they hadn't done it at all in the second half, he ended up 3 for 8 for like 11 yards in the second half. They were doing nothing. There was
right.
no evidence.
No,
if you pack them down at the 4-yard line,
we're both working
they're not
going to.
I think I trust my defense enough to know that even if I don't make it, we're okay. And I think that's the decision they made. I don't have a problem with that. If they had kicked it, I wouldn't have had a problem with that either, only because it does what you described. To me, that's not as glaring.
Well, to me, even if you convert, you still have to score the touchdown to make the percentages work. So are we going to get another bobbled snap? We're going to get a bobble by Fields on a run. He almost fumbled late in the game, if you saw that on a scramble.
Living in your fears, Joe.
Absolutely. And it was a living in my fears kind of game yesterday.
In
that particular one instance, they stepped out of it. Although, I will give Tomlin credit for this, too. At the end of the first half, I thought he stepped out of living in his fears.
And throwing the ball down the field like that.
I wouldn't have been surprised if they played that very conservatively, and they didn't.
But first of all, that play took so long to develop. And if George Pickens, he was trying to make more play.
I know.
He should have known. You just get out of bounds as fast as you can. And he almost did. He's lucky his toe touched that thing. And it was barely.
I'll tell you what, he had a hell of a game.
He did. But that play could have, that's a big 3 points at that point.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing, I should say, up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms, sunchevy.com, high of 76 today with sunny skies. Let's get back to the quarterback question, shall we, Bob? After we take a little trip around the league. Your glasses look wonderful.
I hate my glasses.
Why?
I need them to see anymore.
I think they're absolutely stylish.
Do they look like I'm metrically savvy if I wear them?
I think you look great. Do you agree, City Limits?
I think Bob looks good, but if he prefers without the glasses.
He's insulting us left and right today.
Come on, City Limits.
I said great. You said good. You downgraded.
It was a hesitant kind of.
You downgraded him.
We need to check the definition of insults is what I think we need to do.
It's the way you said it.
The way you said it.
Listen,
one
thing you're
going to
learn.
You said it. I think he looks good.
Austin, you have to know how to play people. That's not how to play.
It's not what you said. It's the way you said it.
It's the way you said.
It's the way you made me.
He called me dumb and he called you ugly.
I did not call you dumb.
According to him, I'm dumb and you're
and
ugly.
And I agree with him now. You
then
called him dumb.
I'm not telling you what you are.
You're pleading the fifth.
I would never insult you that way. I can't believe this.
I'm never going to wear glasses around him again, ever.
I don't blame you after that.
You must lose respect for me. And
replay
I thought maybe
that.
I was helping that.
Replay that. We'll come back to that where I was really complimentary because I know people can be sensitive when they're wearing new glasses. That Bob looked great, and then you immediately downgraded him.
I was not trying to. Do you want me to say excellent?
He took off his glasses.
Do you want me to say excellent?
No, you can't go back. Your decision was your decision, counselor. You made it, and you stick to it. There is no appeal court here.
We'll replay it, and we'll see what exactly happened.